You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK. It's that time of year again. Harvest 2020 is underway, and farmers are coming to the end of what has been a challenging year for growing crops. In this episode, we'll hear from growers from across the country. They've had to deal with extreme weather, a global pandemic, and the uncertainty Britain's exit from the EU continues to pose for markets. Despite this, as we'll hear, there have been mixed fortunes.
It's probably our worst harvest, our own, since 1992, which is going back a long way.
Very trouble-free harvest, really, and a very quick one.
But before we do, here's an update on the harvest results from AHDB's recommended list trial sites from Paul Gosling, who heads up the team.
The harvest of the recommended list trials is well underway now, and the data and field teams are busy checking the data and verifying that the trials are fit for purpose. Once that's done, we put the trial data out on our website as harvest results. You can sign up to receive email alerts on these results when the data is released. But you should be careful of looking at results from just one year, especially a year like this where we've seen so many extremes of weather. As far as crop performance is concerned, oilseed rape data is now mostly in. We've lost a lot of trials in the south to flea beetle and drought, just like many commercial growers. But the overall average yield is about just behind the five-year average, which is driven by some good performance in the north. Looking at the varieties in 2020, Aurelia Ambassador have done very well. And actually, the conventional variety Campus has done well. That's driven largely by good performance in the north. If we look at one of our linkages sites, Harlaxton, Campus is 24% behind Ambassador. There does seem to be a general trend for hybrids to do better where flea beetle is an issue, but on the other hand, some conventional varieties do well in those situations as well. So do be careful about what you hear about that. Over the 5 years, Aurelia Ambassador are leading, but the conventional variety Acacia has also done well. We have some strong candidates in the oilseed rape, with LG Averon and Antigua doing well both this year and also over the 5 years. The other crop where we've got most of the data in is winter barley, and the yield in that are about 0.9 of a tonne behind the average of the 5 years, which reflects performance in commercial crops. We've also got a lot of variability, which again reflects commercial crops. The hybrids seem to have been quite variable, and that's meant that LG Mountain, the Tiro feed, has equaled the best of the hybrids in terms of treated yield. On the other hand, the two new two-row feeds, Hawking and Jordan, seem to have struggled this year, although their five-year average still looks good. And over the 5 years, the hybrids still look very strong. We've got some strong candidates coming through in the winter barley. The SY Thunderbolt is a high-yielding six-row hybrid, with two-rows Bordeaux and Bolton looking good on yield. As far as wheat's concerned, it's too early to tell yet. We've only got a few trials in. What we have look fairly low yielding, quite variable, which again is reflecting what's seen in commercial situations. Hopefully should have some more results soon. And the spring crops will follow along after. As I said, if you want to get these results as soon as we have them, you can sign up on our website and receive email alerts. But you should be careful reading too much into this year's results. Really, if you want to understand how a variety is going to perform over a number of years on your farm, you need to look at the average performance over a number of years in those results.
Now turning to the wider picture, Vicky Campbell, who is one of our arable market specialists at AHDB, updates on the 2020 national harvest results so far.
So we've currently got our harvest update up to the week ending 18th of August, and we're about halfway through harvest so far, 52% complete as at the 18th of August. And this year, we know what a challenging year it's been for growers with the wet autumn, with the dry spring as well. And we're starting to see this played out in the yields and the quality we're getting from our harvest results. So a rapid start was made to harvest 2020. The hot, dry weather allowed people to get out into the fields and get harvesting of pace. We've seen this start to slow in the past week or so with these heavy rainstorms that we've seen sweeping across the country. And as an overall level, most crops are actually well behind the five-year average when we're looking at yields as well, with the better yields actually coming from earlier drilled crops, so those that we're seeing in the earlier harvest results. So if we look at each crop individually, let's focus on wheat first. So we're currently about 59% through harvest 2020 with winter wheat, and the yields Highly Variable is probably the name of this year's game, currently standing between 7.3 and 7.7 tonne a hectare. And if you look at the five-year average of 8.4 tonne a hectare, you can see, you know, how far we are sitting behind them. As I said, quality is currently, the earlier results we have are that quality is actually generally holding up. But as I've mentioned, you know, we're looking at these earlier drilled crops that have been harvested first that were actually drilled in better conditions back in September before the autumn rains really set in. So it will be with interest how we see those play out when we start to see the yields and quality come through of these later drilled crops. Some of the issues we're seeing coming through, there's been some issues with green grain and secondary tillering as well, if they've had to harvest the crops early to try and avoid the rains too. Flicking to winter barley, we're pretty much complete with our winter barley harvest now. There's the odd pocket here and there, but it's pretty much all done. And these yields, again, they're well back on the five-year average, of which is 7.1. So we're currently recording around 6.3 to 6.6 tonne a hectare, widely variable once again. Looks like actually the hybrid varieties have generally fared a little bit better. But what we are hearing with winter barley, and the same with spring barley as well, reports of high nitrogen levels. So some of this this winter barley might be seeking alternative markets, maybe the feed barley market. And as I mentioned, spring barley, we're currently about a fifth of the way through our spring barley harvest. Again, the majority is the earlier sown crop that's been harvested to date. So this isn't necessarily the crop that actually went in and replaced where winter wheat may have failed because of the autumn conditions. So again, a common concern are these green grains, are these secondary tillering we're hearing with the spring barley harvest. And on the other side as well, where the wet weather actually has delayed the harvest for some spring barley, we're hearing some cases of overripeness too, leading to brackling in some cases. Yields so far around the five-year average, between which is 5.8, of around 5.7 to 6.2 tonne hectares. But I stress this is the earlier drill varieties, and where Scotland's actually faring a little bit better than England when it comes to average yields. Scotland, you know, there's such a high proportion of spring barley grown in Scotland that can actually sway the national average that we're seeing around yields. And again, as I mentioned, we're seeing high nitrogen levels in the spring barley crop, particularly in the east. Oats, probably about a quarter of the way through. Again, variable yields we're seeing. Quality generally, although it's only a small sample, is holding up quite well, but this is only on a small sample. And last but not least, when we look at our rapeseed harvest, which is pretty much complete now, 96% of the way there up to the 18th of August, yields well back on the five-year average. Current yields were 2.6 to 3 tonne a hectare compared to a five-year average of 3.5 tonne a hectare. Highly variable. There are some reports of some growers getting less than a tonne a hectare on their yields. So it's been a really, really wide ranging, especially on those crops that were affected by the weather and by pest damage as well. And I suppose the only small modicum of support with rapeseed is actually the oil levels are generally quite good. They're averaging around 44%. So, you know, we're still quite early days in the yields and the quality information we're getting from harvest this year, about half the way complete. And as we progress through harvest, we will be releasing further harvest reports on our website, which will just give more and more detail as harvest 2020 plays out.
The first of our growers farms near Taunton in Somerset. Here's Richard Payne, who was interviewed by Philip Dolbear.
Well, this year's harvest has gone, it's been really actually quite easy. We had no oilseed rape to cut, so what we have done, all our winter wheat, and we have done all of our winter sown beans. So that leaves about 50 acres of spring barley, 80 acres of spring beans, and about 15 acres of linseed to do. Very mixed bag. We started off with, the fields that I thought would be worse have probably been the best. They looked like they were going to dry out. They were sown behind potatoes early. We were sort of above 10 ton a hectare on that one. One reached 11.2. We then went into some second wheat, which was a bit disappointing, so the 8.5. We then got back into some first wheats, which were around the 9 to 9.75. And then our biggest field was the worst at the very end. And we probably, you know, we barely touched 7 ton an acre, a hectare. because it had been flooded so many times and dried out so much. I think if Tony Gregg had still been alive, he'd have been walking home because he would have lost his car keys down the cracks in the wicket.
Now, Richard, you mentioned you haven't got any rape growing. The story of that this year?
The same. I know there are some people drilling rape down here, and I was in Hertfordshire yesterday, other side of the country, and I saw them drilling there. My belief is this job is difficult enough and we take enough risk, and I just think, why take another one? It's not cheap to grow. It's, you know, all your costs are front end loaded, and my view is I think we should leave it for 2 or 3 years, see whether we can either get on top of flea beetle numbers, because they don't have so much, you know, food to eat, and we can hopefully interrupt their breeding cycle, and it might encourage the seed breeders to come up with some better better answers in breeding techniques with resistance, or a new sort of seed dressing which is acceptable to us and the public.
Richard, we've had very wet and then very dry. Which has had the bigger impact on your crops for harvest 2020?
That's a very good question. I think the weather, possibly the dry weather, I think, because when we started cultivating the other day, we got our spade out and had a good dig down. And you know, the soil structure is in remarkably good fettle. There's very little compaction, and the soil profile is really nice. So it would suggest that whilst we only established our crops quite late in the calendar year, they survived and they did all right. They came into the spring quite well, and then they flourished. And then, like everyone else, you know, the lack of moisture at those critical 2 months, I think, did more damage than the wet weather did in last autumn.
Okay, and because of those challenges over the past year, are you making any changes to your variety selection?
No, not really, because I mean, if you're talking about wheat, and that's, you know, the main bulk of probably most of our businesses, I think not. I mean, there's been anecdotal evidence, hasn't there, that Graham, which is a widely grown wheat, has not tolerated the drought well. But, you know, my best yields have come from Graham. It did look like it was going to go very poorly at one stage, but actually it came back well. So we're going to stick with probably 50-50 in the first wheat slot, 50-50 Graham Extays, and then we're going to stick with Skyfall. We did grow a bit of Gleam, and okay, it wasn't quite a fair test because it was late drilled, but it didn't look anything special to me. I know neighbours around here or near neighbours have grown it and it looks good, but I've got the seed and I'm trying to keep costs down. You know, we can home save Skyfall. And in fact, one of C2 seed Skyfall grown as a second wheat was one of our best wheats this year.
We now turn to the East Midlands to hear from father and son team James and Michael Parker, who farm in the Vale of Beaver, Leicestershire. They were interviewed by Judith Stafford.
So yeah, harvest 2020, off to a slow start around here. It's definitely behind normal because things just aren't ready. The weather has left us running a bit late, / the late drilling window, with most of it being in the spring. Normally we'd have winter barley. We didn't get any of that in. Just couldn't get it in the autumn. And then we did get some rape in. We got 110 hectares of that in. But all 110 hectares failed and have since come out again. Lost to a combination of flea beetles and slugs. We managed to get some of that replanted with linseed. Not all of it. There was some bare ground combined with some bare ground from some failed spring barley. About a fifth to a quarter of our land has actually been bare this year, which is rather a lot for us. Wheat wise, we've got some light land, and we managed to get some of that in the autumn. Around 100 hectares-ish in, just a bit under, I think. That came all right. That's what we've managed to harvest so far, which has been distinctly average yields / lower than our long-term average yields, ranging from
six tons for light land and nearly, not quite 8 tons on medium land.
It's been even less than that. There's been four and a half there.
Yeah, but it's been right down here, 4.5 on the worst field, which is very, very low.
If I'm right, you have the advantage of spreading the harvesting dates is not all coming at once, yeah. which could be, I suppose, an advantage. Is it what's happened this year and probably previous years? How's that affected what you do going into drilling for this coming season?
Probably changes to we're now on a late harvest. Normally by now we've done quite a large proportion of our land. We've been in all seed and winter barley, which we obviously lost this year. Wheat harvest is similar timing or slightly about the same as normal and spring barley. But obviously we've got a lot of late spring crops with the linseed and millet. So we're going to be on a very late harvest. Those fields, I think we'll try not to touch at all, just harvest them and then drill them direct. Soil conditions hopefully allowing that. That is a matter of wait and see when we get there a little bit.
Is there, could you give us a sort of idea of what you're thinking of putting in the autumn, conditions permitting? What will the rotation be like?
Decided not going to grow oilseed rape for another year or two while the flea beetle sorts itself out a little bit. There seems very high levels around here. Wife tried to grow a few cabbages in the garden and she's left with just stalks. I think it's a crop to avoid until there is some more clear ways of how to grow it to combat the flea beetle. So instead we're going to persevere with the spring linseed and spring millet. Find a more diverse rotation, just leaves us on a late. Also, probably going to try some spring lupins next year, give us a more variety, which we might be able to feed ourselves, because we have got spring beans in the ground again this year, which we normally have winter beans. Again, we feed those. They're actually looking quite good this year, so we're hoping the spring crops will yield, but time will tell. We're going to have, this year cropping-wise, we're going to have record area winter wheat, like everyone. We've got a lot of break crops in, so that will all go into winter wheat. After spring barley, it will go into beans, all in seed. Probably put a cover crop in just to get it over winter.
Next, we head down south to hear from Andy Basin, farm manager at Newhouse Farm in Hampshire.
So far, we are about the 18th of August today. We're halfway through, just over halfway through harvest now. Mixed results, mixed yields, not mixed quality. Quality's been quite good, but yields have been quite variable. We started off with our oilseed rape, which was always going to be a bit fickle, I think. Yield was just under 2 tonnes to the hectare, which was very disappointing. Understandable, I think, given the year, given the flea beetle pressure. We're going to persevere with oilseed rape next year, albeit on a slightly lower area, but we're going to continue with it. We then went into our wheat, actually, straight after rape. Zayat milling wheat was really good. We were pleased with that. That did about 8 tonnes to the hectare, which is lower than we would normally. That's lower than our 5-year average, but quality this year was brilliant. Good proteins, good Hagbergs. So really pleased with that. And no drying cost either, which was really important.
Heading up north to Northumberland now, where Pip Robson farms 480 hectares of arable cropping at Chat Hill Farm. Pip was interviewed by Rose Ryby.
Basically, we have 1,000 acres of sort of in-hand farming, and we're doing some contract farming on top of that. It's a mixed farm. At the moment, we're busy obviously harvesting. We've harvested winter barley. We have oilseed rape, peas, beans, wheat, oats, and some spelt. So we have quite a variety of crops to harvest.
And if you've got started with your oilseed rape and your barley, how are you finding yields have come in this time so far?
We're starting with the barley. We had some hybrids and two rows, which yields were very disappointing. Not unexpected, admittedly. It didn't get established well last autumn, and we've had a terrible growing season for the barley since. The six row hybrids tended to fare better than the two rows. The only two row I had was awful. But we're at least 25% back on yield on the barleys and very little straw. You know, the straw yield's probably 50% back. And I think what few extra tillers we had, we lost in the spring with a very dry spell, and it adversely affected the winter barley. The oilseed rape, we've just finished harvesting the rape, which I've worried about since the day we planted it, and actually it's so far it's come up good. We've probably averaged about around 4 tons per hectare, which, you know, in a year like this and with a patchy establishment, I'm actually over the moon with, you know. So, and we just finished harvesting that on Sunday, though there's a lot of people locally still with a fair bit of rape still to harvest, actually.
So the $1 million question then, do you think you'll put your rape back in again this time?
It already is. We had more sun than we had harvested last week. And I was actually hoping to sneak some extra rape in, had it been early enough, but the fields we might have been able to do it with, the wheat's just not ready to harvest yet, so time's ticking. And, you know, for a good rape crop, cut-off date is sort of 25th, 26th of August. You can sow rape up here after then, but it tends to be second class, to say the least, you know. But I had intended to try and sneak in. I will always try and up my scheduled rape area if I can, and that may be at the expense of a spring pulse or possibly oats, but I try to grow as much rape as I can, really, within trying to keep out, at least not come within 5 years in the rotation, but we really do try to keep the rape area up if we can.
And do you think, on the back of this last year and the weather that we've had, that your rotation will change much, or are you sort of happy with as it is?
I think with the nature of our mixed farm and stuff, I'm pretty happy with it the way it is. And as I say, if I had a field which I hadn't had rape on, which was destined for spring pulse, and we got harvested early, we would try and sneak it in. Because rape, we find it by far best break crop. And we don't seem to have some of the issues that do further south. You know, and if we can get established in a way, it's fine.
And what about your wheat then? Do you think that's far away from harvesting?
It's a very mixed bag this year. We've got some which, if we had a couple of dry days, we've got a little block which we could get started with. We have some even winter wheat which is still green and not ready to spray yet. And it's very variable, so really it's going to have to be sprayed. And the spring wheat is very lush green at the moment.
And you mentioned spelt at the beginning of our conversation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, we do grow a small amount of spelt, I guess, nearly on a trial basis, and we've been running the trial for a few years, which we get on okay with it. Whether it's financially as rewarding as wheat is very questionable indeed, but I have actually, one of the contracts to do is we've actually harvested our neighbour's organic spelt, which was okay. We haven't harvested my own conventional spelt yet. It's just not quite there yet.
So what will you do with it when you have harvested? What's your marketing plan?
Well, the spelt's all grown on contract for a consumer who, it's used to produce very low gluten, different type of gluten bread for people with allergies and stuff. And I think there's around 15,000 ton market so far in the UK, which up until now is generally, or until these last few years, has been supplied from the continent, and it's something that should probably be supplied from home with a bit of luck.
And how about the rest of your cereals then? What direction do they all go in?
Most of our wheat is grown. We have a contract with it's all grown. It goes destined for our local co-op Coastal Grains. And I tend to stick with Group 3 softs and some Group 4s, which the biscuit millers accept. So it's all on contract. We have a good contract with Platters for that, for the soft wheat. So we do try to maximise our the potential there if we can, and stick with those varieties that they're seeking.
And then going forwards, just to throw it out there with our last question, have you thought about Brexit at all? Does it worry you with your markets next year?
I don't think for this, you know, for marketing the 2020 crop, with the exception of barley, I think the country's going to be so light on material that it's, I don't think, as I say, with the exception of barley, it's not going to be an issue this year. And hopefully by the time we get to marketing 2021 crop or start thinking about it, they should have, hopefully will be a clearer picture of what's going to happen and where we are with tariffs, etc.
Fab. That's absolutely brilliant, Pip. It's great to catch up with you.
Our final grower has already completed harvest down at his farm near Duxford in Cambridgeshire. Here's Tom Mead being interviewed by Theresa Meadows.
So we're here on a sunny Friday afternoon on the 7th of August and really pleased to be joined by Tom Mead, one half of our Duxford Monitor Farm down in Cambridge, to give an East Anglia perspective on how harvest has gone, because I think Tom will probably be the first monitor farmer to have finished harvest across the country. So hi Tom, congratulations on finishing. How does it feel to have finished your harvest already?
I'm not sure that's a prize I really want, as being the first to finish, but no, it's good. Very, you know, trouble-free harvest, really, and a very quick one with, you know, exceptional weather, really. You know, meant we could get on harvesting from, you know, early in the morning, no problems with moisture, and everything was cut dry. So, yeah, on the whole, it's been a pretty easy one. Yeah, so that's a positive to it anyway.
Which is what you want, really, after the year we've had, isn't it? Is it the earliest harvest you think you've had?
As far as I can remember, yes. I do remember we did finish on the 5th of August a few years ago, but no, we were finished on the Sunday, the 2nd of August. So that's, you know, exceptionally early, really. And we started on the 6th of July. Yeah, so very short harvest window.
Pretty straight run through.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because of the weather that we've had over the year and the crop going through its growth stages in a slightly different way to normal?
Yeah, I think so. You know, our cropping, we start quite early with winter barley anyway, and then it just sort of followed on from there. You know, the peas were then ready, and then straight into sort of some early wheat, some Skyfall, which always matures quite early anyway. So yeah, and I mean, probably surprisingly, winter beans wouldn't be until a bit later in the year, but they just completely died on their feet and were ready, you know, 3 weeks to a month earlier than they would be in a normal year.
Not the year for some of these crops this year. It's been a year of two halves, really, hasn't it?
I mean, not disastrous on the whole, on average, but some fields has been a huge variation, mainly depending on moisture availability of the soil. So like for our wheat yields, you know, we've had field averages from 5.6 up to 10.2 tonne a hectare. But in some of those fields, you know, you'd have spot rates from 3 tonne a hectare up to, you know, 12 or 13 tonnes. So just a massive variation in yields. But, you know, the average is probably a tonne a hectare down on where we would be on our normal sort of running average. But, you know, we were quite fortunate. A lot of our crops were actually drilled in October anyway. So considering they were actually normal, planted in normal times, just the hot dry weather, they just didn't have quite enough moisture to fulfill their potential, really.
No, and is the variation soil type related?
Yeah, I mean, anywhere where you know, we're mainly on sort of half and half on some sort of more chalky land where it does actually retain a bit of moisture, and then somewhere there's gravel underneath, the gravelly patches just, you know, died on their feet in all that hot weather we had at the end of May and June, and just didn't finish. The crops, you know, were halfway, you know, they'd got flag leaf out, and the next thing they just rushed through the reproduction stage and were putting ears out, but that, you know, they just completely died on their feet on some of those gravelly patches. But yeah, the chalk land held on all right, and those were our better yields were from.
We need something like that this year, don't we? Good land is important. And your milling wheats, have you got a plan? Did they meet specification?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of different blocks. Some of it did meet specification, but, you know, I was thankful it did, because we'd applied quite a lot of nitrogen to it this year. Looking forward, seeing that it looked like there was going to be a good premium there for quality wheat. So we put a late sort of nitrogen application on that to try and achieve it. And we've made the 13% protein on most of it, and some of it slightly above that. So that's positive, and hopefully should be worth a good premium this year.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's what you need. So kind of drawing a line under Harvest 2020 and looking forward, what are you thinking for cropping and rotations for next year? Are you going to change much based on this year or...?
I don't believe you can change stuff based on last year. They don't farm on what happened last year because, next year could be completely different. Although, I've got in the back of my mind these drier times, but we're not, apart from sugar beet and peas, we're not planning any other spring crops for us. If we can get stuff drilled in the autumn and get a good root structure there, I think there's less risk then to our business in terms of, crops being able to hold on during drier times. Pulses have been pretty poor this year, but, I think it's unfair just to drop them completely because of that. And it's what other break crops do we grow? So we're going to still stick with peas for our pulse break crops and intending to grow quite a lot of winter oats again for next year, which, the market seems pretty strong for. And again, they seem to cope quite well on our soils in quite dry years. So that's the plan, really.
And have you got a home for them? Do they go somewhere local?
Yes. So they end up normally going to Richardson's milling. So there's a good local home for them. So yeah, that's a good option for us for break crops. And still sticking with sugar beet, although probably a slightly reduced area because we are seeing a lot more, virus yellows coming in our beet crops this year. And that does worry me going forwards with that. There could be a potential yield drop in that crop as well. So,
and then just to finish on a highlight, I hear your countryside stewardship crops are going and coming up well, and they'll be a pleasure to look at for next year.
They do. They look stunning. Well, some and some, to be honest. I've got some floristic margins which were planted in the spring, which I think we're going to end up re-drilling this autumn because they germinated and then didn't have any rain and are just not there and full of weeds. So I think we're going to have to re-drill some of those. But some other winter bird food mixes look absolutely fantastic, and they're absolutely buzzing at the moment with butterflies and everything all milling around in there. So they should be at least it's nice to have something green and growing on the farm at this time of year, and hopefully should provide plenty of food for the birds in the winter. So on the whole, not a bad harvest. It won't be a vintage year, but it's it could have been a lot worse, I think, is what I would say. Still pretty reasonable averages, I think, where prices are today. So
lovely, done drying in the shed. It's it's where you want it, and
yeah, exactly.
Forward.
Yeah,
brilliant. Thanks very much, Tom.
No problem. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, leave a review to help other people find the show. It really does help us appear in the podcast rankings and means we can reach more people.
That's all for this episode. You can find information from the AHDB Harvest Results Service on our website. Visit ahdb.org.uk/harvest-results. Here you can find the latest data and commentary from our recommended lists trials all around the country. You can also use this page to sign up to receive the results by email. For the harvest progress in Great Britain, visit ahdb.org.uk/cereals-oilseeds/gb-harvest-progress. On this page you can find an overview of the latest figures. You can also use our interactive tool to learn about harvest progress across Great Britain. You can select specific crops, areas, and the years you wish to compare at a regional or national level. Thanks to all my guests, Richard Payne, James and Michael Parker, Andy Basin, Pip Robson, and Tom Mead. Thanks also to Paul Gosling and Vicky Campbell for their harvest results updates. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on our latest episodes. Thanks for listening.